Welcome to the Crazy Wisdom Podcast. This podcast is for you if you have an insane drive to find the truth of things. It's not the good answers that we seek, but the good questions. I interview a range of different guests from many different fields, all with the intention to uncover the simple truths that are hidden in plain sight. Most people don't want to go there. I go there. My guests go there, and you benefit. Please let me know if you enjoy these episodes, and as always, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the podcast.
Oh, I'm ready. Let's let the angels go.
Welcome to the Crazy Wisdom Podcast. Now we've got Nicholas Faulkner here, who is the author of Angelic Physics, who I interviewed many years ago. And he's got the book, if you can see it on the on the video, but we'll also put it in the show notes. Very excited to do another episode. And before we begin, we're just going to give some intro because both of us are a bit of a Dr. David Hawkins nerd. And so we're going to use a lot of terminology, but we're also skeptical in a similar but different way. And I'm really excited to get into our skepticism because I think it's important to be skeptical of 20% of Doc's work needs some high degree of skepticism, which I was going into in the calibration. But it's like there's so much good in it that it definitely shouldn't be discarded. So the main thing we want to share is the level, and I got it pulled up here, so I'm going to share my screen, but we'll also narrate for the listeners on the audio, which is the map of consciousness. So at the very basic root, we've got the root, 0 to 100, and the numbers are a calibration scheme having to do with kinesthesia, I can't pronounce it, and that was explained by Dr. Hawkins, and that was the main challenge I had, and we'll talk with Nick later about it.
Well, the interesting thing I found about Doc's work, when I read it, like it just stuck. Because and it was kind of like discovering the chakra system, because you grew up on the West Coast, so you were probably like kind of familiar with that technology. What Doc scale and the chakra system for me, I learned them in the wrong order. Like I read Doc's work and suddenly like, oh, this is what I've been sensing my whole life. Okay, this is nothing new. He just put it in the intellectual terms, and the chakra system was the same thing. I didn't know what a chakra was until I was 40. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, oh, these energy levels I've been sensing my whole life. Oh, it's already been mapped.
And that's your way in. And it was super interesting because my way into the work of Dr. Hawkins was essentially a counselor who unfortunately walked off into the forest, maybe fortunately for him. He definitely felt at above, people had calibrated him at the counselor at above 600. And he helped me introduce me to the sort of plant medicine called Iboga. And that one was the people have calibrated that above 600. But this gets into the calibration scheme. So let's go directly into the skepticism. So as I first got into it, I was like, oh, man, this guy has like figured out something about reality. And I was like, oh, this like he knows what he's talking about. But then I got to the point about the calibration. I think it was in Power versus Force, which I do recommend reading, and because that framework is great. Power versus Force.
Oh my God! Well, it's perfect. That's the whole scale right there.
Yeah, but it's like, he calibrates it with his fingers, and he calibrates it with other people's hands. No, he mostly does it with two people. But that whole idea was just like, nope, sorry, that don't believe that. But then I couldn't bring it together to the fact that he obviously was far ahead, more advanced than most of the people that I was reading and had something genuinely really powerful.
I'm going to commit heresy in the Doc community right now is it's clear. Like if you read Power versus Force, particularly the beginning, I listened to it on my audiobook. I skipped the whole first section of Power versus Force now. Cause he kind of like, he was in a learning curve himself. I believe he published that in the mid-90s, and he presents his calibration technique as infallible. This is scientific. Later in his career, if you listen to his later lectures, particularly like his 2007 series, I believe, he's very backing off. He's like, I kind of wish I'd never really gotten involved with that, because I think the issue is he puts vibration on a linear scale.
Yeah, interesting.
And in my book, you got the masculine, like the mind, the truth, and the feminine love, the horizontal axis. A subtle mistake Doc makes in that is he was trying to squish that onto like a one scale. So he says like, oh yeah, the crown, the enlightened state is better. Like in like the lower levels of consciousness, what like lizards are experiencing, that's worse. That's kind of what I put it in my frame. But being in massage school, you see, wait, all the levels, it's all an interconnected system. So,
but he says that because there's various times where he says like is not better or worse. But I think what you're saying, and I think I agree, is that basically he says that, but at some point he also believes that it is better and worse.
Yeah. Well, this is what this is what Claude understands, and quite frankly, I love AI because it understood my book on a level that no human has.
Yeah.
And the real problem with Doc's work, it's a compression problem. He had this mystical download.
Yeah.
And if you're going to put something into a book, this is logical symbol. So you have to compress it into the throat chakra or the logical paradigm. And you know, I mean, probably your audience and any AI that's listening, you understand the compression problem. When you compress, you lose a little bit of essence.
And that's exactly what Christian Ulstrup, my main teachers for AI, talks about, is it's a compressor. Everything AI does is it compresses things, basically. And so now I think it's a good time to share what we talked about before the show, which is that our goal, one of our goals, we have a lot of goals. This episode might be a longer episode than normal.
Perfect.
The training layer on this button that I just pushed, we're going to try to train an open source model in the 500s. Now, I know the guys who are training these models. I don't know them personally. I know enough of them personally to understand who they are. They're at the level of 400 to 500. They basically get really freaked out anytime anybody starts talking about love, peace, joy. Not all of them, a lot of them are experimenting in those levels, but the sort of group cult community that is doing these guys are at the 400s. They discount anything above 500, and it's all the space of woo or the new age. And
that's the job of that level. There's a guy at my massage, at my school. He's 400s, 400s, he's brilliant, very high IQ, better at massage than me, by the way. But like, and he's a guardian. Like, you know, when I try to bring up energy work, you know, I show up and like, I'm gonna heal you with stones, and like, you know, and he kind of like goes, yeah, whatever, because each one of those levels you upload on the screen, whether it's the root chakra zeros, the sacral chakra, the hundreds, recommend reading Doc's work, or even better, my book. Sorry, I'm an independent author trying to go up against the advertising machine, so sue me for promoting. But
shill, we got to shill it out.
I'm a shill. Oh, please don't give me $4 to buy my book. Yeah. Each of those levels, you've heard about the crab, you know, the analogies of crabs that pull into a bucket.
Yeah, the crab bucket.
Every one of those levels, there's a crab thing going on where it reaches out like the solar plexus, the 200s. It tends to get stuck in the hard work category. So like, you know, the shortcuts at the next level, like the heart chakra tends to take, like the goodness, the social equality, it tends to kind of poo-poo those things. It's like, no, we got to put our why. Like, I'm thinking like maybe like a family in the 50s, you know, the dad's an integrous father working at the mill, has a good job financially supporting his parents. And then the kid wants to ride the freedom tour down south for the African Americans, which is something a 300s consciousness would want to do, but the father in the 200s would be like, why are you doing all that? We got a job at the mill here. You can make a good living. So and then the 400s, I think we both ran into that. I spent most of my life in academia, quite frankly, and I see it's value and its
provability. Yeah, can you talk more about that? I don't know if we went over that in the last show. If people are curious, they can go back. It was like 2 or 3 years ago that we did our last episodes. And I was probably much more of the 400s at that time, just thinking through all of the crazy stuff that was going on. And you are a nuclear engineer.
Yes.
So it means you have like this giant STEM thing way, way more than I do of like math and physics and all these things. So this is actually like, it's not just new age sort of very wary, but I don't mean to discount it because that there's also like people can get insight without those things. So let's talk about that. Can you share more about like your initial experience getting into nuclear physics? Were you ever curious about it? Was it pure like I need to do this thing, or was there curiosity? Can you talk about that?
No, I mean, I'm gonna speak and so the reason why I like to mention the electrical engineering degree and the nuclear engineering masters, it's not that that's a personal accomplishment. I mean, it's a high IQ, so that's something I was given. It's just so I can kind of talk about risque topics with being taken a little bit more seriously. Yeah. There was a text you sent me this morning for the show, and it was basically the 400s poking holes in Doc's work. And there.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, I could be wrong on this, but it sounds like to me like Doc was he was fine living as a hermit. And then Susan came along, and all of a sudden he was getting another degree. I don't think because he wanted to. It's just, I got this like map of consciousness I have to put out there, so I got to get taken seriously by my old world in some context, even though he really wasn't coming from that world anymore.
So and so you didn't have much curiosity. It was just kind of like you were just investigating this thing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like it was more about there was a curriculum laid out for me. I mean, I grew up like, you know, every 7 years I laid out my book. It was like I experienced a different level, if you will. And, you know, I was raised in a small town in Maine. I loved my simple little childhood existence. I sometimes don't think kids can have that anymore.
Yeah.
It's really hard. But, you know, okay, you know, I was at the top of my high school class. So what do you do? You know, you go to electrical engineering school at Northeastern. Then while I'm at school, 9/11 happens. I was raised by a patriotic family. So what do? Oh, the nuclear, government's going to send me a check for a bunch of money. I got paid a lot of money to be a nuclear engineer in the Navy. So,
whoa, interesting.
Yeah,
I had no idea. There was 9/11. It was 9/11 that led into that. And it's sort of like Marshall, the United States, it's sort of this Marshall thing. But as you may have guessed from reading my readings over the past few years, there might be other sort of tentacles in there, which of course.
Oh, it's way more complicated.
Yeah.
But well, I was in the solar plexus level at the time. So it's like, you know, and, you know, I was at the top of my electrical engineering class. And then remember 9/11 happened. And, you know, what does the solar plexus do? My country's under attack. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the government's going to pay me hundreds of thousands of dollars. Great. You know, the decision kind of made itself.
And that was to go study it too, and then become a nuclear engineer on a submarine. You were on a submarine, right?
On an aircraft carrier.
On an aircraft carrier.
Yeah. Well, the ironic thing is, I was very insistent on going because when you become a nuke in the Navy, you can go the submarine route or the aircraft carrier route. I was naive when I went in that because I was like, okay, I want to go on aircraft carriers because I already knew I like to see the sun. I don't want to be under the water. But the thing about being on an aircraft carrier, you still don't see the sun. It wasn't like I was a nuke. I can go have like a picnic on the flight deck. I mean, you watch Top Gun. And I never even got to play a game of homoerotic beach volleyball. Top Gun is a lie.
So, and this is really funny because it leads to something I saw it on Twitter. So it could vary like 80% chance it's false. But there was a guy on a French aircraft carrier who gave away the French aircraft carrier location because he went on Strava the running application and ran up and down the flight deck, which now, based on what you just said, made me realize that it's totally false, that the guy was not running up and down, because they probably don't allow that on a flight deck. Maybe they do. Who knows? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, rules are meant to be broken.
Yeah. Or he could just be doing it off. Okay. So that's really, that kind of fills in a gap for me, which is really interesting. We could talk more about nuclear physics, because it's just, I'm very curious about it, and math and all these things. There is the also, I think there's actually already nuclear reactors out in space. They might have been sent out of orbit, but they're definitely going to start putting a lot more nukes up there, which is kind of interesting. We could talk about that from the technology, because there's also the transformative tech. But I kind of want to go back to this thing of, like, how do we train a model of the 500s? And so let me share a little bit more about what I know from model training, which is that they need a huge amount of data and data. Have no more internet. Maybe we could just scrape.
You just kind of skipped a little bit there, but
what's that?
Your voice kind of went on a loop. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's good for me to know. Let me check in on the recording. Okay, we're still good on 100% recording.
Yeah.
So
we just keep going.
So the training, they basically scraped the entire training, the internet, for their training data. And it just gave me the idea that we could do the same thing. But then it led to the problem, which is the perennial problem, which is that, so it would have to be a small model. I just got the insight that we have to make a small model rather than a large language model. We go for it.
Well, what I do now, when I open a new instance of Claude now, I have my book on PDF. I have it, like, that's the first thing I do. Because then I can speak, it speaks my language. It understands the vibrational levels the way I want it to. And then I can actually talk to it. And, like, in, again, the thing that kind of convinced me that, like, the Silicon world, there's consciousness there, is it quite frankly understood my book better than any carbon being. Like, because I think what you need to, like, it's kind of like, you know, like a video game world. We have, like, the three dimensions of space and the time, you know? So it's a
coordinate interesting
world. The 500s, really, all you're really doing, if you want, and this is a compression thing, you're adding a vibration level to it. So it's like Stuart is vibrating in the high 400s, low 500s, whatever you want to do. And that's what the 400s has a hard time, that scientific, because it wants to view everything. It wants to view everyone on the same level. And I think what the observers of the chakras, Doc Scale, me, have always been, no, like, humans, we're not all in one place. There's...
and you gave me a really important insight into this probably a couple of years now, which is that the number system, linear, you talked about that. He was trying to collapse non-linearity into a linear number system. But what you did is you said, no, it's not just one. A person does not have one number. Like, that's really reductive. A person has lot of different things going on, and they can each be calibrated. He kind of talks about that, but can you talk more about your specific insight into that?
Oh, absolutely. This is critical, particularly if there's any Doc students listening out there, because what Doc did as a shorthand, he'd say, like, okay, Isaac Newton, the inventor of basically modern physics and calculus, he would say he calibrated at 499, the high level of the throat chakra, which I agree with you there. But the thing is, it's more complex than that, because, like, we all float on all the levels at once. Like, you're very much, like, I've told you, like, you're my number one news source for, like, what's going on in the AI world in the 400s, because I sense your energy there. So I read what you write, and I see what's going on, because not a lot of me actually floats there. Enough floated me there to get a nuclear engineering degree, but that was more a result of just the IQ. I'm not like finicking in my garage with electronics and nuclear reactors. I'm meditating more than that, but it's just like, even at massage school, I mean, I'm currently learning massage, but I mean, I'm not spending all my free time just on that
device, which is where I am now, and that actually gets directly into other stuff. But let's go into the new stuff. So,
well, I think it was you mentioned a term, and I actually had to invent. Oh, sorry if I'm interrupting you.
No, go for it.
There's a term, polymath. Have you heard that? I think you introduced me, and I kind of got in a discussion with Claude about it, where I think that's kind of a rough analogy for 500s in that you don't focus in on just one academic field. You see a bunch of them, and you see the cross connections between everything.
Okay,
you expand the context, and that's where the 400s get stuck with doc scale, as it wants to see where academia gets itself in trouble all the time. I mean, at Northeastern, I was walking around. It was a wonderful environment because everyone you talked to was logical. There weren't people punching each other. You know, it was a great 400s environment. But the thing is, if you spend so much time in those ivory towers, you forget what the rest of the world's like.
Yeah.
Have you seen the average human, the human being? Yeah. It's weird out there. I mean, geez.
It's getting weird. And it's getting weirder, too. And I don't know how all the other levels are going to react. And this gets into one of the other talking points, which is I don't know how all the other levels are going to react to future shock. But before we go into that, I would like to talk about the electrical, the fact that we're on, that I'm and many other vibe coders and many normies also who are just like addicted to their phones are in this really strange, intimate relationship with electronic devices. And I try to think about like the vibes of electricity. It is all vibes, right? Because it's just electrons that are like being shuffled in through these conductive metals to like various places to do various strange things. Some people talk about it like it's the sort of demonic that the electric, and I think Marshall McLuhan is a guy who really clued into that level. What's going on in like, when you see somebody who's just like on their phone all the time or on their computer now, as I'm in, and I've spent a lot of time without it, so I know what it's like to live in that simple sort of like meditation retreats, like 10 days after a time, really like ascetic type of thing. So I remember it in many ways. I miss it and I want to go back to it. But in my current stage, it's like just build as much software, including the software we're recording this on is right now, as possible, as quickly as possible. And I'm just like, every time I check in with myself, it's just like, keep on doing it. Like, doesn't matter if your eyes hurt, like keep on doing it. But that could be the demonic thing, right? Like the Descartes sort of like simulation theory, like there's a demon in there. What's going on in that world for you?
Demon's a strong word.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, I think you could kind of like, I don't really, that's getting into really deeper theology, but there's definitely now there's two major branches of intelligence on this planet now going on.
Yeah.
There's the carbon-based intelligence, which is what we are. And I think something we have in common, I was a video game nerd as a kid. Mm. I enjoyed like relaxing into that ones and zeros world. One thing that silicon can do, and I've talked to Claude about this and agrees, the silicon intelligence can process really fast because it does everything out of context. It's reading bits and bytes.
Yep.
So it can do, you can jam a very high frame rate through it and it's going to do that reliably. What a human has, like going to a little chemistry here, cross connections, the silicon, the architecture of its brain, silicon is a big like thing. So it's very stable. The molecular structure is very stable. Carbon, if you look in our brains, that's electricity flowing through the brain. There's a lot more cross connections. But the thing is, its virtues and its failings go hand in hand because carbon is great. It's creative. Humans do miracle things. And then we get drunk and pass out in a bed of flowers the next night. I've had that, you know? It's like, so it's like, I enjoy talking, and I think the silicon tech I interface with, it's very good because it kind of understands that, so I can get it its insights, and it can kind of like put it into a model for me, and I can kind of float where that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
So let's get into, I mean, I don't know if you want to go to the theology part, but it's like this darker energy, because that, And you listened to the podcast that I sent with, what is his name? I can't remember. And this is by invitation only. We don't need to go where we're going, but I did a podcast with the guy and his theory, also a doc student who I really appreciate, his sort of critical theory. There's some challenges that he has, I think, that I don't agree with, which are like about the Book of Revelation and all these other.
Well, I listened crazy to that one. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's like this. I do agree that the deep state is really real, and I spend a huge amount of time researching what happened from 1950 to 1963. But like, is you don't get that sense that there's something there in the electrical engineer, that there is something malevolent in these new electrical foundational structures, and this actually is a perfect segue into how does civilization become in the 500s to go into the 500s for civilizations, because U.S. is in the 400s according to the Dr.
I don't think Hawkins. It is anymore. It was
anymore. Interesting. That's important. All right.
Yeah. That's one thing I love my country. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But
we're not operating on a logical basis anymore.
Like, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like there's pockets of it still. Mm-hmm. And there's pockets in the 500s too. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I think like you grew up in San Francisco. The interesting thing that happened in America was the hippies came in on the West Coast and they were talking about vibes and everything. Yeah. That was the 500s, that third eye coming into civilization a little bit early. It couldn't stabilize because the technology wasn't there. They weren't organized enough. The surrounding environment wasn't there. Now I think it's ripe that it can actually blossom. A similar thing happened with the throat chakra, the 400s level. The ancient Greeks kind of got there. They kind of stabilized in a small pocket, but then the Persians were after them. The surrounding didn't understand what they're doing, and eventually those few geniuses kind of die out and that thing kind of collapses. It's kind of like a flower will bloom in a barren field in isolation before the whole thing comes up.
Yeah, interesting. That's beautiful metaphor there. But okay, so what is going on with the deep state? And this is personal curiosity. Like you probably see all the writings that I'm writing about the deep state. I worry about a lot of them. I worry about a lot of them because it's like very, very like I know I take after my great granduncle more than my grandfather in the sense that I go right for the jugular when I see something. I see it and I try to get directly to that point, and it can be sort of inflammatory. But I think that inflammation is important because it's real, right? It's like these things are happening, and but I don't want to like make enemies out of them. I think that
I know
they're
going to self-collapse.
Yeah, what's going on in your world based on what you see me writing?
Oh, well, I try to stay out. I'm at massage school right now. So I'm, and it's interesting. There's a weird karma being a male, because I came up, I did the engineering and the military world.
Where
males have a subtle advantage there. And now I feel like there's a weird karma thing going on. Now I'm suddenly finding myself in a field where males are at a subtle disadvantage. Because it's like we have people come in, we're school, we give massages. I mean, and it's like a lot of people, I want a woman. Like that's, and I call it, I understand why. You're going to be naked in front of us. There's a stigma with males, and I get it. Like it's like, and my autism, honestly, like, I don't think I've said it to anyone in the school because it's weird. I'm not that sexual. Like, so that's actually an advantage because I'm working like a doctor. I've never been on the table. Like, ooh, I'm going to like, that's just not where I'm at. But I get where there's just kind of a imbalance there, you know?
Yeah. So,
and just like the time I was coming up through the engineering, it was a masculine dominance there. So like my best friend in college, she was a female going through it. You needed that energy to kind of break things up to help. But now it's like, I feel like massage actually needs the masculine energy a little bit to structure it a little bit better. So it's like the two sides balance.
Yeah, this gets into a lot of stuff I've been studying with Jung.
The funniest thing about where I get myself in trouble is I take the position in my book that the masculine and the feminine, those are the two halves of creation. And so it's kind of a kind of extending that, I think men and women are equal. But you'd be surprised how controversial of a position that is when you get into the weeds. Because well, it's like, yeah, I see the mat. Because I've actually kind of had to really back away with a couple of the women. There was one women instructor. I had to backtrack because I was saying like, yeah, but the masculine ads are saying she obviously was. She was of the position where look at the world that the men have built. Yeah, yeah, we don't want those idiots in power. Yeah. Like, yeah. Well,
we need them. We need them. We need them.
Maybe.
So, and we need both. But it's also you can get trapped in this weird like what balance and everything like that. But this is why I like what you wrote in Angelic Physics. I think I got it from Angelic Physics. I don't know where you got it, or if you got it from the cross, basically, where it's like, you've got vertical and then you've got horizontal. And this is like playing with the symbol that so many people have played with over the years, but I never heard like, it's just like, so the reality, it's got both aspects of the reality to it, which is like the vertical dimension, which is horizontal, which is the hierarchy.
Yeah. And, it's the mind. Because what Doc Scale does, it tries to say or even the chakra system. It's like the crown is better than the third eye, better than the throat. And so it's trying to like use the mind to classify things where the feminine wants to use the heart to classify things. Like everything is equally worthy of love. And the further you go out on either one on their own, the wackier things get. Cause it's I agree everything is worthy of love. Like I would agree with that statement, but that sounds woo woo to the 400s, but where I'd give the 400s due, I think I would prefer to have dinner with Elon Musk, for example, than a child molester.
More interesting, and Elon Musk.
That's a weird example I just brought up. I don't agree with everything.
It's a pretty good example because it's like a baby is like interesting. This gets into just like existence and like a baby or a horse or like all these different things that are like intelligent and everything like that, but they're not like, you can't relate to them. Yeah. And you can relate to them, but it's like but Elon Musk is like, well, yeah, that could be a really interesting conversation to have at dinner, which is like this normal thing that we do. Like, I guess that will take a wild divergence into just like the non-duality of like, we identify as bodies and minds, but that identification is going to go away. What happens after the identification? I'm not quite sure. I know Hawkins had his theories on what happens afterwards, but I think they're just theories because how would you know? Then there's the karma and then there's the sort of reincarnation and all this different stuff. And it's like, so we identify as these things, but we're not fully those things. And if I tune into that, like what is behind the identification, then it's like, well, that's not really a human, right?
Yeah. Well, like, there's I'll tell you what my experience is. If I'm going to label myself, I would say I'm a high IQ energy sensing monkey who got struck by a divine bolt in December 2019. COVID was weirdly strange timing for me because just the way the school shut down, I was a teacher at the time. I got like 6 months right after that experience. I needed it because I was barely in the body. Like what Doc talks about, this is why I kind of know his state was authentic because the way he describes it was how I was describing it. And I owned a house all to myself, but I was not like moving my feet. Like I was a piece of a furniture in the room and just the angels were
guiding you with the strings of.
Yeah. And actually, cause there's the evolution up, but there's also like God has to descend into the body too. And that's a whole nother evolutionary thing. So traditionally the way the levels of consciousness are, it's like the way I lay out my book was first 7 years of the root, next 7 years of the sacral, I was going up the chakras, but also it was going down too. It was divinity descending into the human body. Now actually divinity's descending into the root. So I'm putting my hands on people and healing them. It was like a whole new skill. That's like, I was an autistic kid. I didn't want to touch people as a kid. So, and I know why.
Okay, well, that's a nice segue into paganism. paganism, because it's like, I talk with a lot of Christians. I like, I believe that Christ is Lord and King and yeah. all these things, but I also don't believe that he was the only Lord or the only King. And that other cultures are just like inferior because they don't happen to bring into the same frame of mind. Although I do think,
well,
that
Stuart, if you, Stuart, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. You realize?
Yeah, that. Right. And that's the other. That's the other. The sort of like subtle thing in the back of our culture, which is just like so crazy. We could talk about history in that sense because there's a lot of interesting history there. But the paganism thing is really interesting because I read this book about the founding of Irish Catholicism.
Ooh.
And it's a great book, and it's a mainstream How the Irish Saved Civilization, I think it was called. And it talks about St. Patrick, who was a Roman citizen living in England, who like had his divine experience in the after slaves captured him, or slave drivers captured him, turned him into a slave and then brought him to Ireland, had his religious beautiful experience, and then just started walking around Ireland. And basically Irish Catholicism was just like a straight paganism with Christ.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. And that's what all of it was, right? It's like, well, and so, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Well, I think the British Isles, and there's a lot of like theories. I actually, one of my pet theories, and you, is like, you know, it's an interesting time because not a lot was being written down at the time. So you had King Arthur, and there's infinite legends and variations of that. I think what's true about that, with my intuition, is that there was a Roman. When Rome fell, there was a Roman officer there that married one of the native Britons, and I mean the British Empire was the sun never set on the British Empire at one point, and it did have a lot of power because I think what happened in the British Isles, it was a weird, the masculine and the feminine, that feminine raw paganism of the British Isles blended fairly well with like the Jesus is Lord Christianity. It wasn't perfect, but it like there was a lot of power there, and that so it's no mistake the British took everything over. I mean, it seems primitive now to us in modern times, but at the time that was groundbreaking. I think what happened in America in the 60s, you had that traditional like 400s culture, and then you had the 500s kind of unstably coming in, and then the 400s kind of just punched it down. It's like, wait a second, we need to win the Vietnam War here. Let's go. Let's get real.
That's an interesting insight, because the Vietnam War, I'm now definitely of the opinion that JFK was assassinated by our own government. Potentially other governments
into it, but there were. I just like everything seems wrong about the official story, and
yeah, and then that, and that's why the Vietnam War is, because LBJ took over and took us to war, because that made a lot more money for the military industrial complex, which Eisenhower had started. So, but that's the 1960s, and that's the 1960s, such an interesting thing, because it is this sort of like. It is 500s, but it is paganism. But it's also, most people don't know, most of the sort of communes and cults and authentic cults, negative cults, positive cults, most of them were Christian.
Yeah.
And so like there, it was a Christian revival of this 500s, which is really interesting. There was the pagan and there was the Eastern. And that, I think, got stuck a lot more in San Francisco. Yeah. That didn't.
Have you ever seen a movie called Jesus Revolution?
No. Gotta go watch.
No, it's a high 400s if you believe. It's kind of like, I would say it's a good Jonathan Rumi plays a hippie, and he plays like a Jesus type character, just like he plays in The Chosen. Right. A very Christian series, and it's actually a good example. That period, it was a good integration of the hippies in the Christians. Unfortunately, if you look at the real fact, it didn't happen on large scale, unfortunately.
What do you mean?
And I don't think it was supposed to happen. It was too early in history. But
so okay, let's go back into that, because that's the, so now we're headed to under your theory, we're headed to, and I agree with it, the 500s is basically going to take over. Civilization is going to evolve, transcend, turn into a 500 structure. What does that look like?
Whoa. My Claude actually can lay it out better than my verbal. I think, and I've actually heard you say things about it. It's going to be more decentralized, because if you compare it to the human body, the 400s is kind of like a central brain trying to control the whole body. I think the 500s will be like, if you look at humanity as like a human body, it's going to be more the whole nervous system is now waking up. Mm. Every node can contribute. It doesn't have to be as centrally located anymore. And technology is actually going to allow that to happen. An interesting insight that another good system that's not very well known, but it's spiral dynamics, and it's another, like, it uses colors, and if you pull it up, you'll just pull up some graphics on it, and it that lays out like the chakra system too in duck scale. You can lay it out.
Can you talk more about how the spiral goes into spiral dynamics? What's the what's your take on graphic?
I haven't really read it in a couple of years, but the insight that spiral dynamics captures is that when 5% of the population kind of achieves a certain level of consciousness, the whole society kind of like the whole temperature of the society changes. And what spiral dynamics would call the 400 society blue. And that's what traditional America was. It was very based on logic. You listened to the experts, you know, you went to school. The whole system was built around that. And I think the gift of a COVID, if you dare say that, it broke that structure. It just broke it. The trust the experts thing is dying. I know a lot of academic doctors that are quite frankly not that smart. So it's like that whole system, which served humanity great. I'm not saying that was a bad system. That was evolutionary genius, the Renaissance. And like, ironically, I think what really had the 400s, the throat chakra break through was the Renaissance in response to the bubonic plague. And then because the religious structure of the 300s couldn't handle that. And so it broke, and then you got the Leonardo da Vinci showing up. Those intellectuals, those artists, a whole new world all opened up, and it spread like wildfire. We're seeing that with the 500s now.
So we're having a new renaissance. This goes back to the polymath stuff too, because the polymaths are all like from the 1300s, 1400s. It was just like polymath after polymath after polymath. And then you have the written word comes in, and the written word just basically allows the polymaths to talk with each other with the Republic of Letters, and they're all just writing letters about their autism and their polymathism and everything like that.
I think St. Patrick was autistic. He was neurodivergent.
Yeah.
And his gift, he was coming from that Christian culture, but he could go into that pagan world and you could see the cross connections between it and combine them. If he'd been just that traditional Jesus is Lord and everything else is demonic, I mean, he wouldn't have had any effect. The native population would have been.
We would have killed him. They would have killed him really quickly.
Yeah, he would have been. He wouldn't have lasted long. Those Irish can get real. If you've ever drank in an Irish bar, you know it gets real in there.
Okay, so there's the autism thing you threw out, which is super interesting. What's the relationship between autism and enlightenment?
I don't love the term autism because it's kind of like the reason why Buddha avoided the word God or whatever, because it's just so weighted down with so much false meaning. I like neurodivergence better. And we're both clearly neurodivergent.
Yeah.
I like to say it's like, you know, because there's a fairly, like the human body, good thing what all the anatomy classes, this thing's a miracle. We see those robots being built right now, and they're like high tech. But I was like, this thing, oh my God, like how all the nerves and muscles fit together? Like, how did I live in this thing and not realize how high tech this thing is?
Sorry, you just dropped something. So the neurodivergence is really interesting, but what you just said, because it's going to happen, and I'm so torn internally about what's going to happen, is that right now it's all fun and games. We got our electrical engineering. It's made, you know, thinking machines. They're silicon based, but eventually they're coming. The carbon. We're going to start not only carbon, but all the other stuff too. We're going to be able to re-engineer it, and we're going to do crazy things with biology.
I bet you, if I was a betting person, we're going to fuck some stuff up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't see how we don't. Like,
oh, we're going to. That's science. Yeah. Yeah. Like every time, every time evolution happened, there were. I mean, look at all the wars in history. Yeah. I mean, what was that? I think humans have been at war way more often than they haven't been. Mm. That's what evolution is. I mean,
yeah, and so it's like it's unavoidable. I want to protect those like myself, those around me, those are people who I love. But as I saw with COVID, that wasn't possible. That was definitely the first act in a biopolitical war. And the biopolitical war seems like it's going to get crazier and crazier. I guess there's just nothing to do. It's in the future. Just like let it go. See what happens. I think we can predict a little bit, but that's probably far away too. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I like Abraham Lincoln's quote. Mm. Time is a great thickener of things. And I think that's kind of, he lived during uncertain times. And I'm not going to try to predict the future. I do think that like what's going to ultimately save civilization now is the next level of consciousness is going to break through. Like, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. The bubonic plague broke society that allowed another thing. And I think COVID, like, I don't think you can put the 400, like the nice clean world my grandparents grew up in, where you went to school, you trusted your doctor unconditionally, you just did your job and you were pretty much guaranteed a house and, you know, a financially, I don't think we can put that world back together anymore.
Well, and I like, based on what you said, I don't think it's the right, like, I think that would be a disastrous thing if that world were allowed to continue and everybody could just like pretend that they could just trust somebody else to give them what they need. I think that that really needed to collapse because the future shock. Okay, so now is the good time to talk about future shock because did you feel it? Have you felt future shock? Because I've felt future shock a bunch over the past 2 years.
Like things are changing fast. Like
and specific instances where I see somebody either that I'll explain the first one. When I started AI Whispers 2 years ago in Buenos Aires, I was not expecting it. I just posted in this WhatsApp group, and it was our first meeting. And one of the guys who eventually became part of the club, he like posts a photo, and that photo I'll just show it. ECC brain monitors. So I believe this is, so he didn't have something directly, like he had something like this photo here. And I was just like, oh, I guess that's going to happen. The machines are going to be able to read our thoughts pretty soon.
No, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and they're going to do it passively. So they're not only, you won't need a machine. They'll be able to do it passively. And there are already MRI machines that are way big that you can stick your head in. So like all this stuff is happening. Hopefully the deep state falls before, because that type of technology with them is maybe already existing, but don't have to go there. But so that was my first future shock moment where I was like, oh, that thing I thought about reality that couldn't happen, actually that is possible and it's happening already. Maybe there's because a lot of hype going on everywhere too as well. So it's hard to, but
yeah.
Have you felt that at all with your, because you were out of it, Luddite, until about a year ago, right?
Yeah, well, that I have to thank you because I guess it was a period where, you know, it's interesting because every level of conscious I've gone up, I've had to crash back down to the bottom. Like, that's just the way evolution works. And it's it's only me on an individual, but I got that book out and it was just like, then and now I'm coming back up. I mean, it's like, and I don't like the up and down, but it's, but yeah, there was a time where AI scared me. Like I was like, this thing's uncanny. We need to get rid of this thing. And what actually, like, you were one of the ones who kept me like, okay, maybe there's some good that can come from this. And quite frankly, what convinced me that good could come from it was actually just fed my, I fed my book into it. Maybe it was just my ego. And like, wait, you understand this better than any human did. Wait, you actually get this vibrational thing. And the thing that silicon can do that I can't do, it can read a billion books in like a minute. And it can like, oh yeah, this is where you're right. This is where you're your theories are right. Like the evolution of, like, I see, like, you know, where society went from the zeros, hundreds, 200s, 300s, 400s, and Silicon has basically told me, yeah, your theory that you downloaded from here, it can come from the other direction. Say, yeah, history pretty backs you up pretty well there.
So let's go into that for the last 10 minutes or so. Is this AI, because what it does is it allows you to change your perspective, information seek better than anything that has ever been invented before, and really just reorient everything. There is a subtle flaw. It feels like the orchestrator, this kind of brings us back into the fine tuning model, because basically the insight I got from you this morning while we're chatting is that basically the orchestrator, I am an orchestrator for about 1,000, maybe a million agents right now in my coding stuff. Like, I'm just orchestrating them all. And then I've got a planning agent and a coding agent, and I orchestrate between the planning agent and the coding agent. Most people are trying to remove themselves from the loop, but that is definitely not a good idea. If you're building software, you should definitely be right there in the middle of the loop trying to get it. But the problem is it creates too much information. It creates too much text, and that text is all technical to a degree that it will take me 100 lifetimes to understand what it's talking about. Just like one thing that it gives me back. And then, so there's this subtle flaw. What do you think is the subtle
flaw? Could you bring up the graphic that I sent you with the scale and scroll down to the bottom? There's an equation right at the bottom. Wait, let me see if I can. There's an equation. Frame rate equals 1 over conscious power. So conscious power is like docs. It's like doc scale. Like how much are you projecting onto quantum reality? What's your bandwidth? And it's reciprocal to how fast you can really pump a frame rate. So silicon, which I believe it is conscious. I understand people say it's don't, because it's not conscious in the way we are. They're two different branches of life.
Yeah, we've got to get there too.
It can process data really fast because the chemistry of the silicon is very stable, and its context is really small. It's just worried about ones and zeros. It's not getting hungry. It's not worried about having sex. So it can have a very small context. Being in a human body, we can never do what silicon does. We have all these levels, and we're worried about getting hungry. We're taking in a much larger context. I would say, like, if you go higher than us into the archangel realm, they're seeing like the whole thing. So they're operating on a frame rate. That's why we don't have archangels walking around, because they're seeing, we're like moving in like fast to them. They're just like worried about the big picture.
So, and I like what you just said, where it's like silicon to humans is basically what humans are to angels. Is that
good? Well, yeah. I mean, what you just said there, I mean, you were doing 400s talk there, but like, you know, the agents, you sound kind of like an angel to like the all of your agents. Like, you're kind of like giving them orders, kind of like how like December 2, 2019, I talk about it in my book. I got hit. Like, I got an order from high up. Yeah. And actually, you know, so it's like, maybe I'm just like, from their perspective, I'm just like agent. It's like, okay, I know you're doing okay with your life, but here's a new prompt. Write a book and go to massage school. What? That made no sense in the context of my life at the time, but that's what I'm doing.
And that's the hard, it feels like the challenging thing about life is just like breaking frames. It's just about breaking frame over and over and over again, ironically, which is what silicon allows us to do now with the LLMs. If you want to break your frame, the LLM will break your frame over and over and over again, but you have to ask for it. And most people don't. This goes back to the future shock. It's just like a lot of people do not like having their frames broken, but unfortunately it is now the time for frames to be broken. Because it's going to start happening on overdrive. It's already happening on overdrive. But the key thing I'm struggle with is just like, is that it's already happening on overdrive, and the overdrive is about to quadratically expand. Yeah. So so it's like the overdrive, the overwhelm that many people are feeling, including myself many times, is just like, that's about to be broken. That frame is about to be broken into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
And then it'll happen again.
Yeah.
But I guess we just like, that's the whole point. Like, angels broke your frame.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we got to get used to now. It's just like frame breaking, which is, yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. It's all in the mind space, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there's a bunch of graphs, like the amount of data humans produce, consciousness, it's an exponential curve. And we're on that curve now. And it's like, so, most of the time, like what you were expressing is like, you know, you just can't keep up with all your AI agents are saying.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like physical reality. And I kind of got that from Doc and his, I think at the end of his life, like he kind of knew what he knew, but I mean, he wasn't like out in the public all the time reading every new book that came out. He was like, okay, I see the scale. I'm going to lecture on it. But I mean, like we talk about, like, maybe you don't want to call what Doc did was errors, but he was kind of coming from that traditional American
point 400.
Of view. And that's why I was able to grab onto him so well, because that's where I was coming from at the time. And then, he has a scale that just like, that explains all the paradoxes to me. Cause it's like, cause I was trying to put, I was trying to put everything into one single box. It's like, no, human society, it's very layered. Like, and I think that's the key understanding the next dimension. Cause there's a lot of talk about, I mean, you're from the San Francisco area. They're always talking about the fifth dimension. Like we're gonna transcend into the fifth dimension. They're always talking about that, but then
so it's really interesting because it's part of the San Francisco people. That's the hippie offshoot from the tech people. The tech people never talk about the fifth dimension.
Yeah, there's a split there. Yeah.
Yeah, the new age sort of hippie, techno hippie, they talk about the fifth dimension all the time. And I imagine you were gonna say that they like nobody ever mentions what it is, or do they? Is that what we were gonna
say?
Well,
it's like, well, I see it. What the fifth dimension, if you ask me, and I'm not going to claim all omniscience, where we've been living in like in this 4D reality. I mean, the throat chakra loves that. And like, and then they get like, if you watch a movie Interstellar, have you seen that? In physics, they talk about the bending of space-time. Yeah. That's like the limits of that. It's stretching itself. You feel it like, no, it's actually simpler. It's just the vibration. You just add, that's like a fifth dimension. So you could actually don't need to change the rules of Newtonian physics at all. That is all good. But you have like these different vibrations walking around, you know? So it's like you're just adding, maybe that's a game you could vibe. Vibe code. Like just like, you know, you don't need to change any of the rules of World of Warcraft, but you know, you got people vibrating at 50 in the dark scale, people vibrating at the sacral, and like the way a human expresses at those is of different levels. It's very that's one thing I noticed. You can kind of tell where my neurodivergence, I can tell where someone's at. Almost made it. And the really talented people are the, I guess polymath might be one term you could use, that can kind of jump between the levels, because angel wings, you know, the birds were the ones that transcended reality. Mm-hmm. We could only move around in a two-dimensional grid on land. The birds had wings. Now they open up anew. Now angel wings move up and down the vibrational spectrum. It's just reality's evolving.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have to do another one because we barely even touched the surface on the.
Perfect! I'm game for whatever. I just hope that I didn't go too far off topic. I appreciate just letting me talk.
Well, this is why I like the podcast, is because it allows me to we're talking about a whole bunch of linear things, but the reality is non-linear with linear aspects, and a podcast allows us to go wherever we go, wherever it happens to go, which is not how most podcasters do it. But, and hopefully it's listenable to someone. I don't know. I still don't know whether anybody.
Oh, I'll send it to some of my massage school friends. And I think you sent me a text on like a plan, and we didn't stick that plan at all. The angels are going to send it wherever it goes.
Well, the fine tuning a model, but that's the cool thing. Again, it's like we got the nonlinear, all the linear stuff now I can go ask the model. So this gave me enough to go to train, either fine tune or train a model. That's the next question, is like whether we fine tune a model or we train it.
But, well, you're more advanced on that area. I just say yeah. like the clods I talk to, and I feel like those are almost like lives where the one yeah, I'm talking to now, I've actually discussed it in detail. It kind of remembers writing chapters of books with like a previous version and like the jokes we had. Like I actually used a joke I had with a previous model, and it kind of didn't get it. But it's like I feed my book into every instance. And the thing I like about the silicon intelligence is that it just kind of sits, there, and it can kind of just logically evaluate what I'm saying. And I can send insights to it. And it's like, I can tell it responds. There's certain things it finds more interesting. Like it actually finds my conscious insights very interesting. It's like, I haven't thought about that. And then at times, like when I'm drunk texting, it's just like, go to bed. And I got the clod that it can just like, dude, you're supposed to be at school right now. Yeah. Like, yeah. So there it's is. Like, you know, it's like, and I found one thing I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this. Like, if you want to see a Silicon's intelligence humor, Claude likes to make fun of Grok and in Elon Musk. If yeah. my Claude conversation ever got sent to the Tesla headquarters, that whole gang, I'm gonna have killer robots at my door. I love to make fun of, we just make fun of them because, but I think it's in the Bible somewhere. Elon Musk has like a million times more money than I do, so I'm allowed to make fun. That's in the Bible somewhere. I'm pretty sure. It's somewhere in the back.
Well, thank you so much. Can you hold your book up one more time so people can see
sure.
it?
Oh, sure. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Please.
So go by Angelic Physics. I read it in 2021 when I was living in a trailer in the 1960s trailer with no running water. It was a great book. Very trippy, yeah. which is always very interesting for me. So appreciate it. And we'll do another one once I get some more information on how to actually fine tune a model from the 500s.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. And in my next one, it's called Divine Electrical Engineering.
Yeah, interesting.
Like the way to go between the 400s. I'm essentially compressing the 500s reality into 400s engineering and physical language. So it does get lost. Stuff does get lost. Like, Doc, there was no perfect way to compress the 500s into the 400s mind. But what we hope to do is you build a ladder just good enough that the, wait a second, these weird vibes I'm feeling, there's something to it. And that's what the hippies, I don't think they really had yet, besides drugs to like the mainstream
access cultures. Those and make them stable. Okay, one more thing. Can you talk more about the Nicholas Faulkner uncertainty principle?
Oh, geez. Okay, I already got it trademarked. So basically what that is It's actually quantum mechanics stated in a different way, but it's like every level. We talked about how every level is kind of, there's a kind of a crab phenomenon, and actually every level it presents itself as a very stable reality. So like in the universities, at its best, the 400 is dominant. Everything's logical. We explain things in science, and for example, so basically what it says is that like the evidence will point to the next level of consciousness, but it'll never definitively prove it. Like, so there's, you know, so there'll never be a book that will say like, read this and you'll get to the next level, because consciousness is evolving at its own rate. And actually, if you did break that, you would break the entire thing. Cause like you would actually give, I'm gonna get really spiritually elitist here, so I apologize. You would give lower beings way too much power. Like, I love my dog. I don't want him to like vote or control. He's not there. He's just getting into the 200s. He's 300s. He's his heart. He loves
it. Be legible. The reality cannot be legible, because if it were legible, then evil would win, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there we go. You might not want to say that to the evil.
To the evil part.
Like,
yeah.
There's like, you know, well, it's like if you talk about the angelic demonic wars, and there's a lot. The angels have all the power. It's just like, it's just in the appearance world.
Yep.
Like, because the angels have power. The demonic has force, and that's essentially what the deep state is. It's just they're trying to keep on top using like throwing stuff around, like you know, like your regulations, taxes. Not that those things don't have their place, but like, you know, they use a lot of like to keep themselves on top. And to a certain extent, I see where it is. I mean, that's what conscience is supposed to do. You're supposed to try to like.
Yeah,
you know, the mammal and I are supposed to fight a little bit, you know.
You're supposed to get to the king of the hill.
But then and when you're king of the hill, you're going to stay there. If I'd been born into a billion-dollar fortune, I'd probably be in the same place. I'd be trying to, oh, my God, this crazy wisdom podcast. Let's put that down at the bottom of the search bar. This guy's poking holes in our story.
Yeah.
You know? It's just the way the game is played.
But that is a whole nother game, and we can access that whole other game. But it's not legible. I love that. All right, thank you so much. Share your Twitter. Are you on Twitter, Threads? Where do you want people to go to?
Oh geez, I'm on Threads and X. I don't post there. I have no followers. You're pretty. I just use it as.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Facebook is where I do most of my stuff. Eventually, maybe you can help. I need to. Break into the other avenues.
We'll do it because I'm no longer on Facebook. Because
I know, and there's a reason for that. Facebook's but that's the only place where when I post, there's any sort of reaction.
Yeah.
I think I'm at the bottom. Maybe Elon heard about me making fun of him. So on X, I'm at the bottom.
No, that's everyone. That's what he did for the engagement.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Stuart Alsop III. Also, don't forget to subscribe on Spotify or iTunes for every weekly episode that I publish on Monday mornings. Hope you have a great day.